With all that said, my son passed on the day just before another son's birthday. So Anthony's birthday was on the 3rd, and Aaron passed on the 2nd. So I thank God for his mercy, for his grace, for his strength. And I want to say to all of us, I don't care what you're going through, God is never any different. He's always the same. He's always strong. He's always there for you. He's always your peace. He's always your comfort. He's always that rock that you can lean on. He's that water following you around in the wilderness. He is who he is all the time. So sometimes when you see a person and you say, well, they've never went through anything, you just never know. I don't think there's anybody that hadn't gone through something. So we're joining you in prayer for those needs that you have. And I believe that God answers. I truly do. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and I thank you and I praise you. And I depend on what you say, that in my weakest moment, you are the strongest. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, this morning, you are going to feed us. I believe it. I believe it. And so we submit to that, and we thank you, and we praise you. Every need that has been mentioned here today, I ask that you would bless that need and heal people and lift people up and make people stronger than they expected to be. Yes. Make us wiser than we thought we were. Help us, O Lord God, to hear you, look for you, find you, and then stay with you. In Jesus' blessed name, thank you for the word. I just believe and receive your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. While I was at home that Thursday morning and thinking and experiencing my own moment of grief, and I was remember saying to the Lord, wow, I lost a son. And he came back with, I gave a son. And he said, I gave a son so that your son could live. I gave a son so that you could live. I gave a son so that anyone who is willing can live. So this morning, that's kind of where we want to go. God gave a son. And so when I was thinking on all these things, I began to say, well, you have to put first things first in order to have the right priorities. I could dwell on me, but that wouldn't help. So I'm saying that to say to you, don't dwell on you. Dwell on the one that can help you. And he will. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 32 and verse 15, the word of God says, until the Spirit from heaven is poured out on us, then the desert will become an orchard, and the orchard will seem like a forest. Ezekiel 36:25 says, I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. Now, yours might read a little bit different, and that's good. But can I tell you, they all mean the same. Yeah. I couldn't even make up my mind which Bible to bring. You know? So I just grabbed one. And I said, they'll deal with it. So the sister in the back, she says, well, I'm putting up King James. You know? I said, well, that's okay. You know? I said, that'll work. So Ezekiel said, I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Amen. Verse 27, he says, I will place my spirit within you cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. Then Joel, chapter 2 and verse 28, Joel says, after this I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will have dreams, and your young men will see visions. Verse 29, and I will even pour out my spirit on the male and the female slaves in those days. So God has had a lot to say, and a lot of times we take those scriptures there and we really lay them out there and we claim them for ourselves because they're really pretty good. And I'm going to sit that there if I can. They're really pretty. Stop. Okay. So they're good and they are for you, but can I tell you they're indirectly for you because they were first given to Israel. That's who they were given to. But you see, because you are in Christ Jesus, then you have become a, you know, part of the seed of Abraham, which then gives you the promises of God.
Amen.
All right? So it still works for you. But understand the lesson that I'm going to give you this morning, Jesus is talking to the Jews. It applies to us. But to understand where it was being spoken, that's who he was talking to. And they should have understood because of the scriptures I just read to you. But even though they had these scriptures, they didn't understand. They were there, but they didn't get it. And so we're going to go to the book of John, chapter 3. And I'm going to try and do this quick, not slow. But you are going to encounter me today really as the teacher, not a preacher, I don't think. So, in John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, there was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. And then it says in verse 2, this man came to him at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one performs these signs you do unless God were with him. Now, we're going to stay there, and so don't get rid of it. Just keep it, because I'll be back to it. But what was going on here was that, number one, this was a group of Pharisees. And the Pharisees, or this man, was from the Pharisees. That was the group he represented. And it was a group of conservative Jews. They were devoted to keeping the law. And quite often they added to it. I want to say this to you this morning. Don't get hung up on being a conservative. Don't get hung up on being a liberal. Because neither one of those is God. God is God, and you will find that he is in conflict with the liberal and he's in conflict with the conservative. Because the liberal and the conservative add to how they feel to the word. And God didn't tell us to add how we feel to the word. He wants you to take his word for his word, and that's the way it works. And so that's why Jesus is going to answer this man a certain way. Point two, the man was Nicodemus, and he was that kind of man. Wasn't a bad man. Nothing wrong with being a conservative. Nothing wrong with being a liberal as long as you know how that is supposed to be and how it's supposed to function. There is a time that you need to be liberal with a person. There's a time that you should be very conservative with a person. You just got to know when. So, point three, these men were the leading class. They were the elite. They thought of themselves as top tier. And so the Jewish people looked to them for guidance. They were rulers. We have to watch it sometimes because we get hung up on our rulers. We get hung up on the forces or the people who are telling us that they love us and that they're guiding us and leading us, and we forget that if they're not leading you as God leads you, the direction is wrong.
Right.
And you must correct yourself always by the word of God. It has to be that all the time, whatever direction you're going in, view it through God's eyes so that you know if you're on the right track or not. And so that's what was important here. So in verse 2, it said, this man came to Jesus by night. Well, all of us come to Jesus out of our dark moments. Even if you just came because you thought you were just a sinner, you were in darkness. And so this man, I don't really knock him so much because he came in darkness. You know, we all have fears, and we don't want other people to know what we're doing because they might not agree with us. Well, it takes time for you to grow in Christ Jesus and realize that it doesn't matter what they think. That you're going to stand for Jesus no matter what. One thing about being a born-again person, you have to learn how to be a committed person. It's not enough just to be born again. Because you can be born again and just sit there. But God didn't call you to be born again to just sit there. He called you for a purpose. And so at some point, you're going to have to overcome your fear of other people and what they think about you or how they look at you, because God is going to make you look like what he wants you to look like, and that's Jesus. So you're going to have to come to that place one day where you're willing to allow God to transform you. Otherwise, you will stay like you are, though born again. But you can actually stay like you are, born again. Because, see, being born again is all what Jesus did. But after Jesus has done what he's done in you and you have been forgiven for your sin, Jesus said, take up your cross now and follow me. You can't just sit there and follow. There has to be growth in your life. God requires it. All right? Very good. Say, yeah, very good, Ed, Brother Ed. All right. They said to Jesus that, you know, no man could be able to do these things that you do except he be from God. I want to say one other thing to you about that. Stop looking at things. Because if it's the things you're looking at and you're judging your life by the things, people judge themselves because they got a new BMW. They judge themselves because they got a new home. They judge themselves because, you know, they got a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend or a new husband or a new wife. And they say, well, God is blessing me. Can I tell you, there are people who God is blessing that aren't walking with him. So don't judge your life by the blessing. Judge your life by the blesser. God is the blesser. Jesus Christ is the blesser. Judge yourself by whether you are growing in him, not in things. Amen. You can work hard and get a lot of things and ignore God. There are tons of people who do it. So we thank God for the blessings. We thank God for what he's doing in our life and for the many good things that he gives us. But really and truly, God is God whether you are suffering sickness or whether you are healthy, whether you are suffering poverty or whether you are rich, whether you are suffering death or whether there's just life all around you. It doesn't change who God is. It only changes because these are your circumstances. And so God says, lean on him in the times of troubled circumstances. But do you know he also says, lean on him in times of good? There is no time that we don't lean on God. We always do it. So when Nicodemus is talking about what he's seeing there, you know, these signs, don't look for a sign to validate God in your life. God is in your life by faith. And believing is not always because you saw. You hear me? Seeing is not always believing. When you read the word of God and that word pricks your heart, don't look around for something that'll prove it. Accept it. and God will prove himself in your life, you'll begin to see the inside of you come out to the outside of you, and it'll be a different you. God will begin to show you that sign. And that is the sign of you being transformed into the image of his dear son. That's the sign he wants you to look for. That's why he told one group of people, an evil generation looks for a sign. What's evil? Unbelievers. And so you got to prove yourself every day. Does God have to prove himself to you every morning? Or do you wake up every day knowing that he's God? Amen. That's what you have to do. Every day. Because you know what? One morning he might be real quiet and you not hear a thing. And when that morning comes and he's real quiet and he seems quiet all day, you begin to doubt. You begin to question. Why? Because you're used to the things validating your faith. You don't need things to validate your faith. I love looking at the things that the archaeologists find and all that stuff. You know, they find a scroll and they find a tablet that talked about Jesus, or they find a tablet that talked about Erastus, you know, in the Bible. There's a name that, who cares about Erastus? But he's in there. And so they found a tablet and his name was on it. Well, I love that because all it says is, see, I told you God was true. But I didn't need that tablet to tell me that God was true. And so we aren't looking for signs. And so when Jesus talks to him, Jesus is not being ugly or nasty to him, you know. Because for me, when Nicodemus said those things, I probably, when he came to me, I would have asked him, what do you want? What are you here for? Jesus didn't. He didn't even wait on him to tell him what he was there for. He perceived what Nicodemus was all about. And so Jesus' response to Nicodemus is, I assure you, what did I ask you that you assured me about? But truly, truly, that's what that assure means. Truly, truly. And so Nicodemus is probably looking like, what did I ask him? And Jesus says to him, surely I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was saying that he was seeing the kingdom of God because he was seeing things. And he was looking at Jesus, this man, and he was doing these miraculous things. So Nicodemus was saying, this is the guy that's going to deliver us. But you know what he was talking about delivering from? From the Romans. He was looking at his physical problems, his physical issues, the natural things in his life. And so Jesus is saying to him, you don't even see me. Not for who I am. But Nicodemus was wondering, should I? And so he says, but how can anyone be born? First let me make sure I say that to you. He cannot see the kingdom of God except what? He's born again. And that word born again could mean again or it could mean from heaven. Nicodemus is a teacher, right? He's a teacher of the Jews. So it should have clicked in his mind, born from above. I mean, come on. This guy is not telling you to crawl back into your mother's womb and be born again. That's an impossibility. So what would be the only alternative left? It would be the alternative that God had talked to them about. And that is what the three scriptures that I read to you before we got into this message were about. The word from Isaiah, the word from Ezekiel, and the word from Joel, those were scriptures that Nicodemus already had. And he was a teacher of those scriptures. And so he should have known from those scriptures. That's why the word of God says to all of us in here, in all of your getting, get an understanding. It's important for you to read the scripture, but just to pick up a Bible, read a verse, and walk away, that's not good. You got to learn how to read the word, meditate the word, and depend on the Holy Spirit to teach you the word. Not just from some preacher standing before you in a pulpit. You got to be able to question the preacher preaching. How do you do it? You judge him by the word. You judge him by the Bible. What did God really say? Because if he says something to you that's out of the word, know what to discard and what to hold on to. You know? I tell you, I like M&Ms. You can't tell. I know it. But I like M&Ms. And sometimes when you're eating M&Ms, there is a M&M in there that is rotted. Yeah, you didn't know that. You never ate M&Ms, did you? So anyway, you bite into that peanut and it tastes bad. You ever experienced that? Whatever it is, you know, and it doesn't taste right. Do you keep on looking for another one like that? No. You discard that one as best you can. And then you go for one that's good. That's what we do with the Word of God when we hear it from other people. My mother used to say, you know, you take the meat and throw away the bone. So that's what we have to learn to do. Jesus said now, so Nicodemus says, but how can anyone be born when he is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time? And Jesus answered, I assure you, unless someone is born of water and born of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I'm not going to try to theologize you with born of water and born of, you know, spirit. It's one's born natural and the other one is born from above. That's what Nicodemus should have understood. However, I will say this to you. You cannot be saved unless you've been born natural and then from above. That's why angels cannot be saved. They were not born in a natural way in humanity. They were created beings, fully adult when they were created. And so, therefore, Jesus didn't die for things that were not human. All right? And you said, well, Brother Eddie, that can't be true because he's going to change creation. Yeah, but it's because of you that creation will be changed. The Bible says creation waiteth for the sons of God. Why? You're waiting for the sons of God because once God redeems humanity fully, then he creates a new heaven and a new earth. Okay? So, see, it is true. All right. I want to go on down here. The Greek word here when he says you must be born again, that is, he wasn't just talking to Nicodemus. That you there is a plural term. It means anybody. Everybody. There's not a one of us that does not need to be born again. Remember what Paul says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of us need to be born again. So when Christ is talking to Nicodemus here, remember I told you he's talking to Jews. But included in that is everybody, even us Gentiles. Yes. Amen? Amen? All right. I was going to tell you, when you sang the song about being whiter than snow, I used to not like that song when I was a kid. Yeah, I never wanted to be white. You know what I mean? But all right. Okay. And so we move down to verse 10. He says, are you a teacher of Israel and don't know these things? That's what Jesus said to him. He said, I assure you, we speak what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but you do not accept our testimony. Now, when I read that, I used to read that and I used to, you know what, if I was Nicodemus, I'm saying, who is we? You know what I mean? I don't see but one person standing here talking to me. And so who is the we? Well, Jesus is saying here, I am the authority of the Godhead to speak to you. And so when I'm talking to you, the Father is talking to you and the Holy Spirit is talking to you. That's the we. And so he says, when we talk to you, we're telling you what we really know. That's why Jesus says, I'm the truth and the life. Truth means I'm the reality. You want to know what's real? That's what's real. Jesus Christ. If you're looking for an identity, and that goes back to the white or black or blue or purple, if you're looking for your real identity, God created humanity, and so he knows who he wants you to be, and he wants you to be like Christ. And if that ends up being white, be white. If that ends up being blue, be blue. If whatever it ends up being, that's who you be. But the main thing is to learn that your identity is tied up in God. You've been born again. And the Bible says anybody that has been born again is a new creation. So I quit being hung up on color because I'm a new creation. And what I want you to see is Jesus and not me. Because me, that's not going to help you. But what's going to help you is Jesus. And so this is what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, you're hung up on man. You're hung up on yourself. You're hung up on you achieving and doing and being. But really, you need to understand what we are trying to tell you. And what we are trying to tell you is that you must be born again. So he said, I'm not talking about your body. He says, I'm talking about the spirit of you, the part of you that's walking around in the dark, dead. You're the dead man walking until you know Jesus Christ.
Right.
Did you hear me? That's what you are. You're a dead woman walking until you know Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ who makes us alive. It is Jesus Christ who rebirths the real part of you, and that is your spirit. When he rebirths your spirit, then he gives you the responsibility of training your soul through the word of God and through obedience. You can read the word all day long, but if you don't obey the word, there's no transformation. Transformation happens by the doing. You can put all the ingredients of a cake into a pot, but if you don't mix them, you're not going to get that cake, are you? That's right. So until we begin to mix what God's word is telling us in us with faith, we don't change. We don't transform. That's what's wrong when a person says, but I'm only human. You are only looking at yourself like Nicodemus. You're not looking at the God that's in you that has come into you to give you a new life, to change you, and to transform you. That's what he's there for, to make you what he said you are. Not what you keep claiming that you are. And ultimately, he wants you to stop claiming the weak you and start claiming the one who is greater in you, that's greater than the one in the world. That's what he's trying to get you educated enough to know that. You have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. And if you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, then you have the Father living in you. Then you have the Son living in you. Now you are in a position where you can become one with the Father. Because you see, when the Father is looking at you and looking for you, he is really looking for Jesus and not who you were. So the more you become like Jesus, the more you are recognized by the Father. Until that happens, you're not recognized. You're not seen in who you're really supposed to be. So he says, you're predestined to change. We talk about predestination. That means that God already set a plan and said, this is who you're going to be. The only predestination that God set was you have to conform to the image of his son. That's the image. That's the predestination of your life. All right. Enough of that, huh? And so then in verse 11, he says, I assure you, we speak what we know, and we testify what we know and what we have seen, but you do not accept our testimony. He says, if I have told you about things that happen on earth and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about things of heaven? That is our problem. We don't even believe what we see. We forget it in a few minutes. Think of the Israelites. They were going through the Red Sea. They were walking through the wilderness. All the things that they did, a rock followed them and gave them water. Can you tell me how in the world it is that a rock can follow you through the wilderness and give you water whenever you need water and you forget it? You know what I'm saying? But they did. They would forget. And then they go to Moses and they start to complain. We ain't got no water. Moses, where'd the rock go? So this is what God is wanting us to do, to remember. But you know how you're going to remember? Through the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus said that when the Holy Ghost has come to you, he will bring all things to your remembrance that I have said to you. You got to learn how to depend on the Holy Ghost to remind you of the things that God has told you. Otherwise, you start to depend on your own self in the midst of your circumstances, and you forget the provider. You know why Jesus taught us to say Father? Because in the Jewish understanding, the word Father meant provider. It meant health, and it meant safety. Everything that a human being needs. That's what it meant. Everything that a human being needs. So he came, and when they said, teach us how to pray to God, he said, say, our Father. Yeah, our Father. When he called on him, he didn't say, God, Father, God. He said, Father, Father. Why? Because he wants us to get the right identity of who God is. He is not just some spirit being off in yonder land waiting to punish you. He's the God waiting to transform you. He's the Father waiting to make you into the very image of his Son. All right. Verse 13. No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. So nobody has gone into heaven that didn't come first from heaven. And he says it's the Son of Man. So right now, the Son of Man is in heaven, but he's also the Son of God. And he sits on the throne on the right hand of God the Father. And he is there making intercession for you and I. So when you think that you don't have a representative in heaven, think of the fact that you have Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God. And if you think you can't get a line through, think of the fact that you have the Holy Spirit in you who is tied to the Father and tied to the Son, and they don't know how to ignore each other. Did you hear me? They don't know how to ignore each other. God never looks at the line when the Holy Spirit is calling and says, tell him I'll call him back. Yeah. Through this time, you know, of dealing with my son, you know, I started getting so many phone calls that I would just let it go to voicemail. God doesn't do that to you. He never sends you the voicemail. You said, but Brother Eddie, I didn't get an answer. You did, actually. You had an answer before you prayed because you should have gone to him in faith. If you went to him in faith, you already had an answer. You just had to voice what you wanted, what was important to your life. And if you went to him in faith, then you also know, like Jesus already told you, he actually knows what you have need of before you ask.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he is answering you. Learn to listen. Learn to stand on really what he already promised. If he's promised it, stand there on it. Yeah. It's just a matter of the fullness of time. And that's what we sometimes have a hard time dealing with, the fullness of time. So if we move down to John 3:14, the word says, just as Moses was lifted up, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For you and I, just as Moses lifted up that serpent, Jesus must be lifted up in your life. For every situation, every circumstance in your life, Jesus must be lifted up. I don't care what it is, if you dwell on the issue will grow and it will become larger. But if you begin to give it to Jesus Christ and you say, I cast all my burdens upon you for you care for me, the burden becomes light. I promise you, just like just a few minutes ago, when I had to get up and go in the back, I just had to go talk to him for myself, for my own strength, for my own comfort, for my own peace. And that's what he gave me. But if I had dwelt on what I was feeling, then I'd be standing here crying. I would not be able to do what God said do. But he promised me. He said, you go, and lo, I'll be with you always. And he says, and look, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to you, and I'm going to tell you, he's going to comfort you. And so he did. And so he says in the Word, in the book of Isaiah, he says, righteousness cultivates peace. God will give you peace if you're willing to live righteously. And the only way to live righteously is to live as Jesus Christ says and lift him up higher than your world. Now, within that same verse, though, is a requirement on you to lift him up for other people. So my prayer this morning is that by me being able to overcome and stand and do what God says do, then you begin to realize it doesn't matter what I'm going through. I can still stand. I can still do what God is calling me to do because greater is he that is in me than the me that's dealing with the things in the world.
Amen.
And that's what you do. So, you know, that's what we have to do. And so we go on to John 3:16, a verse everybody knows. It says, for God loved the people in the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God did this. Why? Because of his love for you. Not because you earned it, not because you deserved it, not because you paid for it. He paid the cost. He paid the cost. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So it was God who shed his own blood so that we could live. And so this is what he says. That's how he proves to you that he loves you. No greater love hath any man than he would what? Lay down his life for his brethren. And I'm sorry, I couldn't give you all these scriptures because I didn't know what the Holy Ghost was going to say. But there it is. All right. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God has no desire, no concern in his heart to condemn you. That is not what he is about. He is not about your destruction. He is not about your annihilation. He is not about anything that is destructive to you. He said, I do not want you condemned. So you have to stop letting other people condemn you. You have to stop letting yourself condemn you. You have to stop letting circumstances in life condemn you. Trust God. He did not send his son into the world to condemn you. If I preach to you today the word of God, and when I leave, you feel condemned, then I taught the wrong word. Did you hear me? I taught the wrong word. If it brought condemnation upon you, it should bring liberty in Christ Jesus, because it means you can be set free. It means that God so loved you that he gave his son that you should not perish, but that you would have eternal life. He wants you to have eternal peace, for righteousness cultivateth peace. We're living in a world where people are crying out for peace, 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 but they don't want righteousness. You cannot have peace. You can have a cessation of war. You know what I mean? You can stop for a minute. But that's not peace. You can make a treaty. But that's not peace. You won't break peace if you walk in righteousness. Okay. Matthew 28:18, after you've understood and you've come to Jesus Christ, there's a requirement upon you. Remember I said that you must begin to lift up Jesus Christ for others. He didn't lift you just for you. He lifted a husband for a whole household. He lifted a wife for a whole household, a child, to save a whole household. He lifted you to save somebody else. Not to see them coming and say, look at them, that old sinner, they're going to die and go to hell. No. He sent them across your path because he wants you to tell them there is another way. And so that's why he gave the commission in Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came near and said to them, and this was after he had been raised from the dead, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That means whatever I say goes. That's putting it as simple as I can. Whatever he says goes. And so he says in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples. Can I tell you, a church member is not a disciple? There are many places where they have memberships, but not disciples. Yeah. A disciple is a person who is willing and committed to doing what Jesus says and to changing his life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's kingdom living. Yes. Being obedient is kingdom living. Learn what Jesus wants of us, desires of us, and is willing to give us to change us, and do it. That's discipleship. So he says, make disciples of all nations. That doesn't mean that the whole nation is going to get saved. What it means is that you are definitely going to save somebody in that nation. So if there's a nation that you hate, change it. Because it may be you that God sends to that nation and asks you to go preach to them and teach them to be disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I want you to not get hung up on what you say when you baptize somebody. Come on. Come on. Don't get hung up and say, if you didn't say Jesus, then they ain't saved and they ain't baptized. First, he said, you already made the guy disciple. That's the first part of it. Now he said, go baptize them. Why? Because baptism is the same thing as putting a ring on a woman's finger or a man's finger when they get married. It identifies you and says, I'm committed to Christ. That's what it does. It says, I'm committed to him.
Yep. In public.
You know what I mean? And you can't take the ring off when you want it. The ring stays on. You can't unbaptize yourself.
Praise God for that.
I'm telling you. All right? So you do it, and if you say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, God will say, okay, that's our name. If you say in Jesus, he'll say, okay, that's my name. If you said in the Father, he'd say, okay, that's my name. If you said in the Holy Spirit, you know he'd accept that? I firmly believe it. You know why? Because, see, the three of them are one. They are distinct in their position, but they are one. And each one recognizes the other, and each one says, you're dealing with me in the fullness if you deal with either one. So don't get hung up on what people tell you about, you know, it's got to be this way or it's got to be that way. These are rules that we make, basically because we just misunderstand it and we think we're supposed to be in control, and so we do it. But that ain't how it is. All right, so in verse 20, he says, teaching them, they must be taught. What must they be taught? To observe everything I have commanded you. You cannot select the parts you want. That's what he's saying. I didn't say it. Don't get mad at me. He says, you can't do that. He says, whatever I'm telling you in the book, that's what you are required of. And then he says, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. When he says I'm with you always to the end of the age, he is not saying the end of the world. We live in the church age. One day that will end. We live in the age of grace, and one day that will end, and we'll go into the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. But God, the world's never going to end, see? Now, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, but does that sound like it ended or that it was changed? Okay, the last thing I'm going to say to you is found in John 16, 8, 9, 10, and 11. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I don't care how much talk we do. I don't care how much witnessing we do. You must do it with the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot ignore the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that was sent by the Father and the Son to indwell you, to give you a power and authority to do his work. And the other part of importance about that is to understand, he says he convicts. When you are talking to somebody, stop getting frustrated and upset because they don't hear you. The Holy Spirit will convict him. You plant a seed. What is a seed? The Word of God. But the one who makes a seed germinate is the Holy Spirit. He does the convicting. So you might witness to somebody that tells you to go to a place that you really are not going to go to. Just leave. Because the Holy Spirit will deal with them. He will convict them. He will convict them of sin, and he convicts us of righteousness all the time. Why? Because he wants us to know what righteousness is and what righteous things we're supposed to be doing. Don't ever think that because you got saved, you're out of the conviction world. You still get convicted all the time too. So we have to learn to listen all the time. And so he says about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Do not be afraid of the devil. He's already judged. And his sentence has already been passed. But in the fullness of time, God will throw him in the lake of fire. And the Bible says that people that see him in the lake of fire, especially the kings and the queens and the great monarchs and the people of great power and authority, they will look at him and they'll say, this is what we were tricked by. This is what we were afraid of. He's already beaten. He's already defeated. The person that has to be defeated in your life is you. Did you hear me? You need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus so that you know who you are, you know what your capabilities are, you know where you're supposed to walk, and you know how to do it. And the more you obey God, the more those things will become more prevalent in your life. You'll change, you'll be transformed because you walk in obedience. Father God, we thank you and we praise you and we worship you. We thank you for your word. You are making us powerful. You are making us, Lord God, invincible when it comes to whether we can grow or live your life. We can. The word says, I can do all things through Christ, which is my strength. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we are overcomers. We are victors. We are those that are obedient in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen.